Hey guys, Kevin here. While this week's episode is incredible, it does contain a little more explicit content than normal. So if you're listening to this while driving with the kiddos in the backseat, you may want to stop and listen later on to avoid some awkward questions about some colorful language. That being said, get ready to have your mind completely blown by none other than real estate mogul Ryan Serhant himself. Enjoy the show.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby.
Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here. Before we start this week's show, I want to take a quick second to talk about systems. The business systems that you put in place will determine your success and your financial future. Well, I got news for you. No one teaches you these systems, not in school, and unfortunately not in the military either. That's why the ADPI team banded together to create the best and most comprehensive system that anyone out there, no matter their level, could learn from and build upon. We call it our Military Real Estate Investing Academy. Our 80-plus lesson course will take you from real estate newbie to full-fledged military real estate investor and action taker. Click the link in the show notes and use code ADAM. ATOM at checkout for $300 off today. That's code ADAM, ATOM, for $300 off today. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. We have a legend here today with us on the show. We've got Ryan Serhant, and we are going to get into all of what he does. But, in this episode, how he has been able to create himself as a mogul in the real estate space. We're going to talk about his background. We're going to talk to him about how he has achieved some of these big goals that he's set for himself. And we're so excited to get into it. If you guys don't know Ryan, he is a successful entrepreneur in the real estate space, a sales agent, a broker, a real estate investor. He's done multiple TV shows and he's an author. He is all over the place, but he's absolutely crushing it. And I'm so excited to be interviewing him with the team. We got Kevin here. We got Eric on the show. What's going on, guys? Ryan, how are you doing?
Thank you for having me. This is awesome. And first of all, I just want to thank everybody, you guys, everyone who's listening, just to thank you all for your service. 1,000%. Would not be here without you.
It's an honor to serve. It really is. I won't speak for the guys here. I'm sure they'll have their own piece to say too. But, this mission means a lot, bringing some legends such as yourself, sir, to inspire some of these veterans that are out there looking to do big things. And so we're excited to have you.
Yeah. And I talk to, a lot of veterans, all the time. A handful of my family members are in active duty. And, a big part about real estate, right, and real estate sales and just sales in general is that anybody can do it. Like, you don't need higher education. You don't need anything. Like, you can get off a boat anywhere. And if you just kind of learn the tips and the tricks and the strategies, you can sell anything and you can have any kind of career for yourself that you could possibly ever want. And if you've come out of the military, you have insane things to talk about with every person that you ever sell anything to, what you just said to me, you went to Iraq 4 times and never been to New York. Like, you kidding me? Like, if I've been to Iraq 4 times, I would say that to every buyer who is being a pain in my ass ever. Like, man, this deal is brutal. It's just like that time I went to Iraq. Actually, that was worse. You'd have talking points that way.
Literally, right. Giving your team a compelling story is the reason you're sitting here talking with us today. So that's great insight. Absolutely. Good story.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. And Eric does that. So
good.
Yep. Hey, so Ryan, I wanted to jump right in here and and say, because you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what would you say is, you know, people at home, they've seen you everywhere. They've seen what you've done. They've seen that you sold $4 billion worth of real estate over the last 12 years. But what was the one thing that attributed to your massive success? Like, there's got to be that one thing where you realized, like, wow, I got something here, you know, because you started 08, you know, after the 2008 crash. Yeah. And I can't imagine someone, oh yeah, the whole world just crashed. Let's go do some real estate. I bet there was blood in the streets. And I bet everyone around you told you you're crazy.
Yeah. No one took me seriously. That's for sure. Listen, I would be lying if I didn't say that television definitely helped, right? I don't want to sit here and say, you know, that it was something totally separate. You know, Million Dollar Listing definitely put me out into the universe to a lot of people, but no one called me. You know, I didn't go on TV and then all of a sudden clients called me left and right. I literally thought that's what's going to happen, right? The first time Million Dollar Listing ever aired, I went to the office the next day, totally pumped. And I'm like, my life's about to change. I was on TV last night. I think 70 billion people probably watched it. I'm going to sit there. My phone's going to go off the hook. I think I like an idiot. I think I actually looked at the phone. It was like, here we go. And no one called. Like no one emailed. Wow. I think like my parents did like later on that day. And that was kind of a smack in the face, because I was like, what the shit? Like I thought you go on TV and then everybody wants to work with you. Apparently.
That's the thought, right? Yeah.
Other than me, let's say, you know, when was the last time you guys went home, sat on the couch, watched TV and were like, hey, who is that? Is that Kendall Jenner? I'm calling her right now. I want to talk to her about dresses.
Yeah.
No, you watch TV. It's an escape. It's entertainment. You're like, all right, fine. I'm going to go work with Bob, the broker. Like if you're looking for a house, you know? What I really then attribute the success to, if that's what you want to call it, outside of like fortitude and just the pure ability to not give up, because my back was up against a wall and giving up meant like moving home and pure failure, and I would never do that. I made a decision early on that I wasn't going to take a day off for 3 years. Okay. It's like my first 3 years, wow. I'm going to treat this like grad school. I didn't go to grad school. A lot of other people in New York anyway were going grad school, higher education, all that. I'm like, right. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I don't want to take out student loans. I don't want to do that whole thing. This is going to be my grad school. And so for 3 years, I'm going to bust my ass, right? And I had a lot of friends that were like in law school. So that's what I'm going to do. No matter what, I'm not going to take a day off. So when everybody else is on vacation, at the movies, sleeping, like I am just going to work on meeting new people. Because that's all this job really is. It's meeting as many new people as I possibly can every day. And I can do the math, right? So if all I do every day, and at that time it was 10 people. So if I meet 10 people a day, right? That's 3,650 a year times three, right? That's 11,000 people that I will have met and gotten their contact information from and put into my database to send my newsletter to, that I otherwise never would have had. And all I got to do is go outside and meet people, because the sales business is about brokering relationships. It has nothing to do with real estate or cars or insurance or pharmaceuticals or whatever it is you're selling, right? It's just connecting a buyer to a seller to a buyer, and then managing that process and staying disciplined. And what I love about you guys and the listeners here is I would never have to teach any of you discipline. Like you already got it.
Fortitude is
homegrown.
Fortitude is definitely inherent with a military real estate investor for sure. I mean, coming off the front lines and then coming back here, there's nothing hard about buying or selling or investing in real estate. It's a well-traveled path and you just have to have that fortitude. So glad to hear you say that. Translates well to the civilian world for sure.
Yeah. And there's a lot of banks, hedge funds, private equity funds in New York City, really, really, really big corporations. And there's a handful of them that will really only try to hire veterans, because the hardest thing to teach anybody is discipline. And you can teach people anything. Like I can teach anyone how to sell. I could teach people to memorize information about houses. It's not, that's not the hard thing. The hard thing is how do I incentivize you to wake up every day really, really early and get to work with no boss and grind all day without the prospect of actually making money? And how do I keep you motivated? That's really, really hard. It's really hard to teach.
Ryan, this is going to get deep for a second, but having a deep-rooted why is what that is for a military service member.
Sure.
And for me, it's a constant reminder that I serve with the memory and pride of those who've gone before me, for they love to fight, fought to win, and would rather die than quit. So
sure.
For my fallen brothers and sisters in arms, our fallen brothers and sisters, those who have sacrificed, that gets me up. That means my hardest day is a day that they can't even imagine having. I mean, it's
perspective. Right. Yeah, it's perspective. Yeah, you know, like when we're downrange and it's raining mortars and stuff, and then you talk to someone here or whatever, and they're like, "Oh man, you know, I can't make this sale. The world's going to end." No, you're going to be okay. You know, but non-veterans they don't necessarily see that.
Yeah.
And it's having that perspective to say, okay, it's not raining mortars. We're going to be
okay. Remember that when Frederick gets the listing instead of you, you'll get the next one. I'm just kidding.
Thanks.
There he goes. There he goes.
I love your relationship with him, by the way. It's just hilarious. It's fun.
That guy, that fucking guy. Yeah.
Oh man.
Hey, it makes for great TV. So either way, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not here now. Now he's in LA full time. So I don't know what's going to happen on this future season because
your
we keep getting
nine?
Season nine. Yeah, but we keep getting shut down because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
We were shut down for 5 months in the middle of the season. Oh. We picked back up for a couple months, then we got reshut down again, and I don't think we're going to pick back up until probably the beginning of February.
Right.
That's, so it'll come out eventually.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of transition a little bit to one thing that I know you pride yourself on is your negotiation skill. And you talk a lot about your three P's, you know, pressure, price, and persistence with negotiation. And I've heard other people say it, you know, communication, confidence, and compromise, and some other things. And so how do you think that that applies, or just elaborate on that process and why that allows you to be so successful with making a deal close?
Yeah. It's about being able to improvise, right? It's not every negotiation is the same, but they all have the same pieces. So you just got to put the puzzle together a little bit differently, right? And so that's what those three pieces are about. If you know that how the negotiation is going to get to, which is to a deal, right? And you map that deal out in your head, you know what number you're trying to get to before you even start. That's the whole thing with closing. Everyone tries to close at the end and they're like, "Oh, I don't know how to close." It's because they're trying to close at the end. You don't try to close at the end. That's like doing a puzzle without knowing what the puzzle looks like. That's like doing a puzzle with no box, right? You're like, "I think this looks like flowers, but I don't fucking know." Like, no, you have the picture. The picture is the goal, which is the deal, right? If you're trying to get to a deal for $100,000, you write that out. Now you know exactly what you're trying to build, but every negotiation is a different puzzle. So you got to know when to push. You have to know when to be super persistent. You have to know when to pull back. And every person is different and the way they move is different. And so, you know, your ability to improvise and listen, right? That's another big thing to it.
Yeah.
You know, most people listen to reply because they want to say something. Right. It's like those people that ask questions all the time. It's like, "Dude, how was your weekend?" And they don't even listen to you. And they're like, "Oh, that's so funny. My weekend?" You know, like you want to be the person who listens to respond. Right. And that's a quality of an amazing salesperson because they know what they're going to say, but they'll take their time and they're going to respond with what they want to say, mixed in a little bit with a response to what you just said. Like, "Holy shit, that's crazy. Blew up my weekend. I was just out." But what yours? Right? You got to care about that other person and you have to guide them to that picture. That's how you close. That's how you sell.
Yeah. Hear the message beyond the words, right. Mm-hmm. You know, what they're saying, but know that message. And I think, you know, you talked about meeting 10 people a day and setting that networking goal. You know, in our mastermind that we teach, we tell people analyze 3 deals a day. If you want to get into real estate, you got to learn how to underwrite. You got to analyze deals as an investor with that in mind. Analyze 3 a day and you're going to get really good at it. Meet 10 people a day. You're going to get really good at negotiating.
Yep.
You will. because you're going to learn how people move, talk, walk, you know, the whole thing. So that's really key. I love that.
So Ryan, I got a confession to make, man. And you know, you might kill me on this, whatever. It's all good.
It's going to get weird. All right. Get weird.
Before we got connected with you, I had no idea who you were. I have no idea.
How dare I?
Right. I'm the worst person in the world. I'll admit it. It's cool. But once I did, you know, get to know you a little bit from what I've seen, obviously on social media, I'm in awe, man, because you've accomplished so much and it's absolutely incredible. I got my agent's license. I'm actually here in Honolulu and I have big goals, kind of like you. You know, I really see you as somewhat of a mentor that I can kind of follow and stuff, which is great. But because I didn't know you and I want to cater to a lot of the folks probably here on our audience that are listening, can we get to know a little bit of the Ryan before he was Ryan Serhant? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your background and kind of what led up to this success, because I think that right there is the true story and testament to who you are.
Sure. First of all, Hawaii sounds nice. So congratulations. I was born in Texas. I was born in Houston. And kind of bounced around a lot. I moved eight times, before I hit fourth grade. Grew up a little bit outside Boston. My parents made me play every single sport known to man, and I sucked at all of them, but they forced me to. And I wasn't allowed to quit. That was my dad's thing. It's like, you're going to try it because you don't know, and you're not going to know what you like until you try it. So you're going to try it and you're going to stick it out for an entire season. It's not going to kill you. But you're going to do it. So like, I was the center on the football team. I was the right fielder on the baseball team. I played squash, badminton, tennis. I was the worst tennis player ever. I did hiking, mountain climbing as an extracurricular for 6 months. That sucked. You know, I did like every sport.
All right, what school did you go to? Because I'm a product of public school, and I missed the signups for mountain climbing class.
I went to a school on the North Shore of Boston. But these also weren't just through school. This was my parents saying, you need to grow up to be well,
this is just like
you need to grow up to be well-rounded. Yeah. And I was like, I just like movies and TV and I want to be on TV. And they were like, okay, well, that's never going to happen. So you need to learn how to do all these different things. And you got to take every single course known to man and be well-rounded that way, even if you're not good at them. And I hated it. You know, throughout school and throughout college, and I really, really resented them a lot because none of my friends had to do that. My friends got to do whatever they wanted, right? They got to they didn't have to have jobs. I had to have a job every summer from when I was 9, and it was always manual labor, and I hated it. And I hated my parents because of it, and I said a lot of mean things over the years, I'm sure. But you know, it started with general yard work at the house and, you know, splitting firewood was a job I had. And then it was just general laborer contractor work and demo work, all the way through college. And then I still stuck to my guns at the end. It was like, no, I, the one thing I think I'm actually good at is theater. I'm going to go to New York City, and give myself 2 years. That's my timeline, and see if I can make something of it. See if I can pay my bills through acting. And so I went and I could not. New York City is way more expensive than anyone ever told me, even though they say it's expensive. Like gum costs more here. Everything costs, like the air, they bill you for it. It's nuts.
And the pigeons. Oh my God. The pigeons.
Yeah. You know, it's the pigeons, the dogs in their stupid sweaters and their shoes. You know, it's like a whole thing.
The pigeons are more expensive in New York.
Yeah, right? It's true. So I quickly ran out of money. And I didn't want to move home because that was like my wall, right? That was a failure to me because I knew if I moved home, and by that point my parents were on a ranch in Colorado, that I would just move to Colorado and work on the ranch and like die there. And that's the last thing I wanted to do. So I wanted to make something of myself. And I knew that if I was in New York, that was the best place to do it.
Nice.
And a friend said, listen, get your real estate license. you can do whatever you want. You can do your little theater thing, Ryan. You can, you know, dance around, you know, like a chicken, whatever you,
one man,
whatever makes you happy, but get your real estate license. You don't have to be a bartender. You don't have to be a waiter. You don't have to get a temp job, and meet people and rent them apartments. New York City is 70% rental. And you can just rent people apartments. They'll look, you know, if you rent an apartment for $2,000 a month, which in New York City gets you probably a 4 foot by 4 foot box.
Pretty much.
You know, your commission is when I started in 2008, it was like 1 month's rent. So $2,000, and you split it with the brokerage company you work for. So you're 50-50. And so if you meet one person and show them something in one day, you can make $1,000 in a day. Like I'll do that. Sure. So I got my license and I just became addicted to it, you know? And I had no, if you had asked me 10 days before that day, if I would have ever anticipated myself sticking into real estate or becoming a realtor, you know, becoming a broker, it's like, absolutely not. Real estate, it's the worst. No way. Like the last thing in the world I'd ever want to do is be a real estate agent. Like, ugh. But I became addicted to the job and to the work, right? To the work and to the discipline and everything that my parents forced me to do that I hated. All the discipline, the routines, the structure, being well-rounded, all of a sudden, it all became incredibly valuable. Nice. All of a sudden, I could talk to anybody about anything because I kind of knew a little bit about a lot of things, but I didn't know a lot about any one thing. I could talk to anybody about any sport a little bit. And I knew how to set up a structure and I knew how to set up a schedule because it had been instilled into me. And I knew how to not stop because my parents taught me, you don't quit. You commit to doing something,
right.
You don't quit, right? You take it to the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm still here. Like, so it's really how it started. And I just didn't stop, right? And that's a big key to to success, right? What is that quote? Like, I didn't make it up, but there's, you know, what is it? 98% of the people out there are working for the 2% that didn't quit or something like that. There's like some quote that's like, when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah.
That's it.
We'll give you the quote by quote is Ryan Serhant. So we'll make it up.
That's really what history is, right? History is just written by the winners.
That's it.
No, I said it.
Yeah.
Folks that didn't quit. Run it.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So you take that incredible story that is awesome, by the way. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and you convert that now to your success. What would you say were the key milestones that you hit as an agent, right, going to a broker to hit that $1 billion in sales? Like, what were those key moments for you?
I'd say there's so many. I'd say the biggest one, though, is understanding volume, understanding leverage, and understanding the idea of keeping as many balls in the air as you possibly can. Because whether you're a real estate broker or a real estate investor, most of your deals are going to die. And so if you go into every day understanding that your job is to lose deals, your job is to lose, then all the wins aren't normal, right? Most people go into their day thinking that everything is a win. And so that when things don't work out, they're like, oh, fuck this. Oh, this sucks. Oh, I can't do this. And they quit. That's why 82% of everyone who gets into the real estate business quits within 12 months because they go into it thinking that they're going to make it happen. And when it doesn't, they're like, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. But if you go into it knowing that it's not going to work, right, then every win you do have is just pure bonus, right?
Yeah.
It's pure bonus. So you switch your mindset that way. So that was important. And understanding too, that it is, again, it's about volume and it's about lead flow. So those 10 people a day, right? I want to have as many different, you know, irons in the fire. I want to have as many different balls in the air as I possibly can. I want as much going on as I possibly can because I need to increase my odds because the chances of these deals going through is pretty low. If all of them go through, bonus. If none of them go through, I did my job. I did my work because my work is meeting the people because that's what it's all about, right? Is meeting the people over and over. And then it was then figuring out leverage because you can't do everything by yourself. Right, you got all these things going on. You meet all these people. What do I do with all of them? I can't talk to 100 people a day. I'll die. So figuring out how to then leverage yourself and leverage your time, really structuring your day for success, being really regimented, disciplined with your hours, right? My day is structured every 15 minutes, and then leveraging it. So bringing in other people that can learn from you and that can work underneath you. Because as you get into higher price points and as you do more and more business, you want to reserve your time for only things that you can do personally. Everything else, whether it's going and checking on those properties, or it's underwriting those deals, or it's doing those walkthroughs, or it's meeting the plumber, all those things should then eventually, not maybe not today for you, but eventually be done by somebody else, or three other people, or 10 other people, because your main job is to bring in the business and meet the people. And understanding all that were real light bulb moments. And it didn't happen all at once. It was like slowly but surely. And I'd say, you know, we've probably all experienced this in some way, or maybe there's some people who are listening who haven't, but like the moment you do your first deal and you make like that first check, right? And you deposit it in the bank and it clears, like that's it.
And it clears. Yeah. I love that. And yeah, it clears.
That's a powerful moment, you know, in the US, right? That's like, okay, it worked. This works. I can replicate this. And maybe I won't for 6 months, but I will replicate this because I did it once. If I could do it once, I can do it again. And I'm going to do it better this time and better this time. And just pace yourself and be smart about it. And anything is possible in this business.
I love that mentality of just go fail more. Yeah. And learn from those and adjust fire and move forward. And as long as you never give up, you're going to win.
How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
Compared to being in active duty in the real estate business, you can fail every day, right? In active duty, don't fail. things get right. It's bad.
And depending on your job, if you fail,
yeah, exactly.
Die.
So, you know, here, if you fail, you don't die.
I love that picture you painted earlier about you have to know what the puzzle looks like to put it together. And that reminded me of something I've heard you say, that you've got a picture of yourself aged to 80.
Yeah.
And like, look, who is that guy? You know, like how does that motivate you to get to where you're going to go? You know, and I don't know, maybe that's a rhetorical question, but I just love that you have that perspective of like, what's my end? What's that picture I'm trying to paint?
Yeah. It's about, listen, man, so many people wake up every day, they go about their day, they go home, they go to bed, and it's 2021. And then it's 2022, and it's 2030, and then they're 50, and then they're 70, and then they die. And I made a decision a long time ago, like, I'm not going to live that life, right? But the only way that you can get out of that rut and the way you can beat time is by setting goals and setting metrics to hit those goals, because then you can calculate that time and put the time to work, right? And then you can start buying back your time. If you have a goal you set every single month and you hit that goal on the 20th, you just bought yourself 10 days, right? You just bought yourself 10 days. And those 10 days, one day you can spend with your kids all day long. You just hit your goal. That's a bonus day for the kids, right? The next day you can go out and just prospect. Just go meet, just go drive. Go fucking get lost in a town you never thought about investing in and just drive around. See what you see. See what brokers are in the business. See what signs are up. See why the people keep buying on that block, because that's a bonus day. Whatever works for you. Give yourself those wins, and the time will move slower because it's working for you, instead of time going by in the blink of an eye because you're allowing time to control you, if that makes sense.
Makes a ton of sense.
And I think you hit on something. You hit on something so important, Ryan, that it bears worth repeating. And it's about goal setting, because when you set goals and you actually set a time, it's so surprising how much faster you, when you, when you're focusing on this goal, how much faster you will accomplish it than the time that you set for it. And then, just like you said, then you have all this, this delta, this gap of time that, guess what, you can get on to the next goal and the next goal. And that's how you got from, you know, where you started in 2008, failed actor, in 12 years to $30 million net worth, selling $4 billion worth of real estate. People can't even fathom that. That's 12 years. Yeah. People spend 20 years in the military and they settle for a $2,500 a month check.
Yep.
Isn't that crazy?
It's actually something called Parkinson's Law, right? And what Parkinson's Law means is that any task you set for yourself in a certain period of time will be completed in the total amount of time you set for yourself. Meaning that if you say you're going to do X by February 1st, or you say you're going to do X by Friday, you're going to figure out a way to get it done by Friday, or you're going to figure out a way to get it done by February 1st. Except if you say by February 1st, and right now that we're recording this is January 6th, like, it's just going to take you 24 days, right? And you're going to find new ways to elongate it, delay, procrastinate, add more things to that task. Other things happen. And of course, it's going to take you 3 weeks to do it, because that's how long you set out to do it. But if you say you're going to do it by Friday, all of a sudden you're finding efficiencies. You're getting smarter with your time, and you're making it happen by Friday, the same exact task.
Right.
So it's interesting you brought that up, because I was actually just thinking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Big, hairy, audacious goals.
Yep.
Topic I love talking about. In fact, one of the things I'll just say on ADPI's behalf, one thing that we're committed to is ending veteran homelessness this decade. And it's happening. We're already making moves. It's already tiny home communities are already springing up. So
nice. That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. That's huge.
It's a solvable problem, but we're happy to do it.
Yeah. And I think, listen, right. Like, one thing I want to do, and the reason I also wanted to do this podcast, and we're trying to think about it. You know, we do an online sales course that's become pretty big, and we're in 110 countries, and we've helped a lot of people learn how to sell and how to build their real estate sales careers. One thing I want to do is structure a way, and maybe you guys can help me offline or something, for how to give it without cost to veterans who can learn from it and kind of listen to our programs and what we do that other people pay a lot of money for to help them sell more where they are, or even just get into the business, right? Like, how do I get into the business? How do I start this? I don't even know what to do. Do I Google it? Like, people don't even know where to start. And the course has helped a lot of people do that. So maybe you could suggest some ways that I could go about setting that up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, we'll talk to Kyle after this about that for sure.
We can get hooked up for you for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that would be just something phenomenal. And Ryan, thank you for that, because there's a lot of people out here who are still active duty listening to this podcast, and they're also real estate agents.
No, I know.
And because they're trying to level up. They're trying to be you, but we have to serve. I'm still active duty. I'm still serving, I'm still doing what I do, but I do want to round this out, and you may have talked about it already, but I'm curious, you know, that when was it that you knew that you made it to the next level, and with regards to like a challenge? Because usually there's like one big challenge that someone overcomes, and then I'm not saying it gets easier after that, usually it gets harder, but they overcome this challenge and they look back, and maybe it was that time that you cashed that first check, but they overcome this challenge and they're like, oh man, like, okay, I just overcame this. And now what do I do to motivate me to keep pushing? Because for a lot of people, if they overcome this massive challenge and get this windfall of cash, they're like, okay, great, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, but there's something internal to you that motivates you. And I want to know what that is.
Yeah. I am, fueled by the fear of failure. You know, I cannot fathom taking a step back. You know, if I do less this year than I did last year, like, it's debilitating.
Do you still fail?
Yeah, like every dude, I get fired all the time. Like, there's things. Dude, a million people just moved out of New York City. Like, I, yes. you know how hard it is to sell an apartment in New York City right now. I have to beg people to show up. So it's tough, right? The market is, as great as New York City is going through a challenging time. Right. I would say, you know, I started my own company in September. We became a legal real estate brokerage on October 1st of 2020. And we did that, and we built the company, and we set it all up. We went through all the legal, all the logistics, all the planning, all the documentation, everything, all during COVID when I couldn't be around other people. And the fact that we got that up and launched it and got it off the ground, and we announced in the Wall Street Journal, and now we're actually here live from our new offices building out this real estate brokerage during a pandemic when everyone has left New York City. Like, that's, for me, that'll, you know, that's a big moment for us. And if I can do this, I can do anything.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal, that, man. I would love to, maybe this podcast isn't the right form for it, but I would love to pick your brain to figure out, what do you do now, right, to prepare during this pandemic while millions of people are leaving New York?
I'm coming to Honolulu with you, and I'm going to get on the beach. I'm going to hang out. I want to go surfing.
Love it. Yeah, man. Come on over.
Mike's got to get food for you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Outstanding, Ryan. Well, thank you, man, for your time. We're going to kick this in the bonus round, and we want to give you a chance to promote whatever you've got going on. But, you know, we want to respect your time, too, because we know you're a busy guy. We've got four questions for you in our bonus round. Question number one, what is your favorite book?
What is my favorite book?
Can't be your own.
No, yeah. God.
That was it.
No, feel free to promote it if you want.
Yeah, no. For honest, I don't have time to read a lot of books. I wish I did.
What's Zena's favorite book?
Quiet Time with Belle, where it's like, just go to sleep, baby. No, I would say the book that I read last, I read it a couple years ago, that made a big impression on me was Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. The way that guy started Nike when he did, and the way he describes how it was built through all the ups and downs and all the failures, it's like, dude, if he could build Nike, any one of us could build anything. It's a cool, inspiring book. It's easy to read, and everyone knows Nike. It's really, really cool.
Right. That's awesome.
It's on my list.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that book, because, you know, if you didn't have one, the default is Military House Hacking by Eric Upchurch and Mike Foster. So
there you go.
Yeah. That's the default. That's, you know, cool. We just figured it out this plan. All right. Next question, Ryan, who is your biggest hero and why?
Yeah, this is not a plug. I will say I have two answers to that. First, and I say this a lot, you guys also indirectly, and everyone who's listening to it, like I don't think enough credit is given in this country to those who serve. And I don't think people really understand what it's like around the world. And I don't think people really understand what it means to protect an entire country of people who are ignorant to what's going on around the globe. And I could not be here selling condos for millions and millions of dollars if it were not for everyone listening to this and everyone you guys know who are protecting us and making that a fucking possibility. So as one big group, and I say that all the time, not just because I'm here, to everyone who served, those are definitely my true heroes. And then two would be my dad for being a real pain in the ass when I was a little kid, but instilling in me a real understanding of what it means to be an adult. Right. What it means to be an adult, what it means to be a professional, and what it means to make decisions based on my commitments instead of making decisions based on how I feel. And that's the that is the real differentiator between professionals and amateurs.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I pray that in 10 years, my kids say the same thing about me, because I might be that dad.
Yeah. God.
I have two boys right now. They're learning some things the hard way. Let's just put it that way.
Good.
That's a great answer.
Well, my father had me work. Yeah, my father had me work manual labor at his scrapyard for without paying for years. I don't know, I think he did pay me. He paid me like $2 an hour. I don't know if you, Ryan, if you've ever had the pleasure of pulling old meat out of meat trucks that is supposed to be flipped cardboard. It is a joy. But I tell you what, it motivated me to go to college.
See, dude, so I will never.
I am. And then I joined the Air Force.
Yeah, listen, I think about carrying 80-pound bags of shingles on my shoulders, up 50-foot ladders, scared to shit, aching, burning in pain, drenched in sweat all the time, and heaving demo into dump trucks over and over. And I hated it while I was doing it. I'm like, dude, I'm going to work so fucking hard. Yep. So I never, ever, ever, ever have to do that ever again.
That's it. Yeah. Don't want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Love that, man. Mm-hmm. All right. So question number three, what do you like to do for fun outside of business, outside of all this?
I
can't be selling real estate.
I like, listen, I work out. I like fitness. It's the one thing in my life I can actually control. Right. Cause it's just, it's what it's what you put into it.
Your health.
Right. Yeah, it's like outside of like, there's a lot of things in our health that we can't control, unfortunately, but your ability to kind of control your body and prove to yourself that you can actually do it. Like for someone who's in the real estate business where a lot of what happens to you is out of your control, I like starting my day that way. But I like going to movies and back when I was allowed to do that, and going to Broadway back when we were allowed to do that. And, I still have that bug in me, right? That kind of film, TV, theater bug.
That's awesome.
Do you eat healthy also? Would you ever go back
what?
To that? Do you eat healthy also?
I eat healthy 6 days a week. And I'll intermittent fast from 12 to 6. And there's that one day every week where
you got a cheeseburger.
But I don't just have one cheeseburger. It's every Saturdays. I literally, I will destroy multiple meals. Anything and everything goes. It's just a day that just doesn't count. And in New York, right, we have doormen in all our buildings. And I make it really uncomfortable for the doorman in my building. He's like, there's more food. Is this all for you? Who eats? How many pancakes are here? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Put it in the elevator. It's Saturday, man. It's Saturday.
That is awesome.
You know me.
Yeah.
That is incredible, man.
Don't judge me.
Ryan, would you, given the chance, would you go back into, you know, more of a professional acting? Like, if you had to give up real estate and someone said, "Come to Hollywood, and we want to, you know, put you in," it, would you jump at the opportunity?
Probably not now. Unless there was the right opportunity. I did, you know, if you go on, I think it's on Netflix. I did a movie with Ben Stiller a couple years ago called While We're Young. And I played Hedge Fund Dave. And you can look it up. It was an awesome experience making it. It was really, really cool. It was fun. It was wild. It was like everything that I ever dreamed, growing up, right? One day, like having that opportunity. But I realized, like, I'm a much better real estate broker than I am an actor. And I think it is about knowing your strengths and weaknesses in life. Right. That's also why I eventually got my real estate license. Cause I was looking at, like, I was doing a free play, off the West Side Highway. Okay. In 2008. And, it was a version of Romeo and Juliet that was just the absolute worst. Okay. And the guy that was playing Father Capulet was like 75. And I remember standing next to him, and he was so excited. He was pumped. He was like, "I invited my agent to come here. This is going to be it. People are going to see me. This is going to be my big break." And I'm like, "Dude, a garbage truck nearly just killed us. We're doing this show for free. I'm 24.
You're three times my age."
God bless that guy, because he's scared. He didn't know it. And he doesn't even know it now, but that scared the shit out of me. It's like, "Oh my God, I do not want to be you. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I'm not 75 standing on the side of the highway, hoping my day is tomorrow. Like, my day is actually going to be tomorrow, and I'm going to go make it work. And if it's not theater, it's going to be something else. Boom. Because every speed bump is just that, right? Most people treat speed bumps like brick walls, and they give up, or they quit, or they have to go back to the drawing board. It's just a speed bump, man. It's just a bump. Keep moving. The road on life is about getting to success. What success ends up actually being will change 100 fucking times.
Outstanding, awesome. Man.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know who the 80-year-old isn't on on the wall. It's not that guy. Not West Side Highway.
He's not the guy doing the same who way might for 25
be,
years.
Who might be a valued listener. He might be listening right now. That puts him at about 90-ish. Yeah, I think he's listening. that's cold, Ryan. Final question. I want to jump in this final question because it's really important. If you had, three nuggets to pass off to maybe a beginner real estate or an active duty member who's thinking about getting into becoming a real estate agent, and they want to hang their license with a broker or something, what would those three nuggets be from starting out?
Yeah. I would say, one, you have to commit to time. Okay. You're not going to do this part-time and be successful. You're not going to do this half-ass and be successful. If you're going to do this, do it. You got to burn your boats. You got to cut the net. Okay. If you absolutely cut the net, then you're not going to fall because falling is dying. And so really, really, really put in the time. For me, like I said earlier, it was making sure that I worked every single day for the first 3 years. Whatever that means for you, whatever you can do, you put in the time. Two is you got to build your sphere. So you probably know a lot more people than you think you do. So build that sphere. Anybody you've ever met, make sure that you have a good database of people and start building it together, whether you're putting it into Outlook, into Gmail, into your phone. You download like a follow-up boss or close CRM, something like that. Make sure that it works for you and that you stick to it and that you work that sphere of influence, right? Because some of your first deals or your first investments or your first money from people might come from the person you didn't even realize, might just come from the fact that you still got that guy's information from 10th grade and his dad actually works at a bank and they're looking to give, I don't know, construction loans. I don't know. You don't know until you ask. And the third thing, I'd probably just, stick to people is try to meet 10 people every day, 10 people you otherwise don't know. And they don't have to be physical. You don't have to meet them on the street. You can meet them online now. You can meet them on Instagram. You can meet them on Facebook, on all the different platforms. You can meet them on message boards. You can meet them in person. You can go to the park. You can go to the gym. Try to meet 10 people every day. It's not that hard. And make that your job. If that's your job and you do it every day, then every day you win. Everything else is just bonus.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right? Mm-hmm. Love that, man. Well said, man. And so thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely incredible. We learned so much nuggets. I'm sorry. Did I miss one more? We can edit this out.
That was four.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, that was four.
I'm like sitting in my head and I'm like looking at the energy. I'm like, did I miss something? Okay. All right. We'll edit this out. But anyway, so thank you so much again, Ryan, for your time. This is absolutely incredible, man. So we'd love to give you a chance. What are you working on? How can our listeners get in touch with you? All that. Go ahead. Promote.
You can follow me anywhere. YouTube, we have a large vlog channel, Instagram, Twitter, everything at Ryan Serhant. My second book comes out on February 2nd, Big Money Energy, which is all about how to have confidence in the room when you don't have any confidence. How do you be the person when you're not the person yet? Because I had to figure that out a long time ago. There's a blueprint to it. Right? You don't just have to be born successful. You can build being successful. And that image of success, right? And that's how you're going to make your first deals and keep it going. So if I could do it, anybody could do it. I'm telling you. And you can pre-order that anywhere. You could go to bigmoneyenergy.com.
So when I make it to New York City and take you to Tao, can I get a signed copy is my question.
Yes. Yeah, deal.
All right. Awesome.
Love it. Boom.
Please come here and take me to Tao. That is funny.
Is Tao open right now? COVID?
Yeah, if you're willing to sit outside in the freezing cold.
Hey, well, I hear it's like, it's open container in New York. My sister's working in Brooklyn, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and they built all these sheds on the street. It is the weirdest time to be. It is so weird. It's going to be like this crazy memory of, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's wild, man. Yeah. It's wild.
All right, man.
Hey, Ryan,
you'll be telling your two-year-old, back when you were 2 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
On the street, you know, like they're going to look at you sideways.
Ryan, last thing I got is we're hosting a gala at the Beverly Hills Hilton a little over a year from now. I'm going to talk to Kyle about it and just, you know, see if he's interested for you. But we're hoping to have Vince Vaughn and Adam Sandler and some other guys there. But we're going to raise $2 million for Veterans Community Project.
I'd love to be there.
And I'd love to at least invite you. It's Black Tie Affair. It'd be really swanky, nice little event.
Let's do it. That'll be awesome. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Love that, man. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, Ryan. Really appreciate it. Guys, if you learned something from, which I know you have, make sure that you go and share this episode out. Share it with another veteran. And keep passing the knowledge because that's what it's all about. Please leave us a 5-star review. Let us know how awesome this episode was. As you know, it helps more people find us and it helps put that message out there, which is what it's all about again. So thank you again so much, Ryan, for your time. Appreciate it, brother.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999. Or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.